This morning I wore a tie that belonged to Tom Butterfield, and tonight I'm wearing the second one that was given to me. So on the way out, if you want to take a peek at it, this one's Noah's Ark. And it's kind of cartoonish, and I thought maybe that suits Tom's personality, Uncle Doofus, a little bit. Just the cartoonish part of it. But again, in honor of Tom, what a wonderful, encouraging mentor and preacher he was. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we're so very glad that you have been our God and that you have shown us the way of salvation through your Son, Jesus. We know, Lord, that we long to be with you, that nowhere on this earth, on this side of heaven, is there a better place to be than to be with you, your people. The closest that we can be to you is in the gathering, the assembly of your saints as they come together to worship you in spirit and in truth. We're very blessed, Lord, to be given that opportunity several times a week. And so we do know, Lord, that we can pray to you anytime, that we can open our Bibles and draw closer to you in our personal study, and we do. And we ask, Lord, that as our time nears, where we can be with you all the time, that longing, that yearning within us would bring us there to your gates, where we would be welcomed by your Son Jesus for the work that he has done on that cross and at the tomb. We're thankful, Lord. It's through him that we pray. Amen. We are looking at Psalm 84, which is in Book 3, and it is classified as a corporate praise, meaning that it's the nation of Israel praising God for a wondrous thing that he has done. I like this picture here of Jesus welcoming his bride into heaven. What a joyous reunion that would be. And you could imagine as the bride is the church, and the church is longing and eager, and it's yearning for wanting to be with Jesus and nowhere else, but to be returned there to Jesus' side, where we can spend eternity there with him who loved us so much that he gave himself for us. That same yearning ought to be within us as we are here on this earth. There are so many who, you know, we can look around and say, where are they? How come they're not filling in our pews? Here's an opportunity where God's saints are able to assemble. Why aren't all of these pews filled? Where are those who claim to be Christians and yet they would rather do something else on a Sunday evening than to be here with us as we all talk about heaven and yearn for that time when we can once again be reunited with Christ, our Savior? There's an expression here that says it's inconsistent not to have time for God now, but want to spend your eternity with him in heaven. It really is inconsistent to think that I've got better things to do while I'm here on earth, but one day I'm going to be in heaven, and that's where I want to be. We should long to be in with Christ, whether we're here and that longing on this side of heaven for that which we've not yet reached, or in heaven itself, when we can see face to face. After all, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, Psalm 116 and verse 15. I got thinking about this as Lori lay dying on hospice, and that there are a lot of hymns that we sing on this side of heaven that really don't make a lot of sense for those who have passed on and gone forward. One of those is When We All Get to Heaven. That's a song that speaks to those who are on this side of heaven to encourage them to want to live a life in such a way that we can all be together in heaven one day. It's very useful for us here, but maybe not for those who are already there. Or how about the old rugged cross? Maybe there would be some value of that song in heaven as we sing of what Jesus has done in allowing us to be there with him. But in reality, that song speaks to those who are on this side of heaven, who are yearning and longing for that one day we can be with him there. And the work that Jesus did on that cross, the old rugged cross, to allow us to be there one day. How about, what will you do with Jesus, my friend? That's a question that's asked in a song that certainly makes a lot of sense on this side of heaven. What will you do with Jesus, my friend? Because when that day comes and we're standing before judgment, before God himself, before that very throne of heaven, it's going to be too late to say, what will you do with Jesus, my friend? The decision's already been made. And there's no way we're going to be able to change that as we stand there and have to give an account of our lives before him. Or why not tonight? Is again another song that speaks to those who are still here on earth about the decision that they need to make. And how important it is to obey that gospel and live faithfully before that time comes when we can no longer make those decisions. And yet there are a lot of songs that also act as a bridge of sorts that make a lot of sense because they are at that moment of time between this existence and the next. And there's even in a song we sang this evening, "It is well with my soul." It jumped out at me when we sang the fourth verse. "And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight." That's one of those bridge songs that tell us that we are yearning here on earth for a time when we will see face to face. And so there are a lot of hymns on this side of heaven make sense really only for here, but there are ones that have verses that speak of that time as we cross that bridge and we can see and be in the glory of heaven altogether. About a week ago, Angie asked me, she said, "What are you speaking on tonight?" And I said, Psalm 83. She says, "Oh, so when will you get to Psalm 84? And I said, "Well, I'm planning to do that next Sunday," meaning tonight. And she's like, "Oh, that was the hymn that the chaplain at the hospital read to Joe on his final night on earth." I thought, wow, I hadn't thought about that psalm in the same way, but there are a lot of psalms, too, that are bridge kind of psalms that speak and are meaningful to those of us who are yearning for heaven, but also have a meaning for those who are just coming into their eternal reward and are seeing face to face. This picture was taken, be 9 years ago this coming Tuesday. Joe will have been gone 9 years ago Wednesday, right? This coming Wednesday. That's not the day he died. Okay. Okay. We talked about a picture, but I didn't show her the picture, so I wasn't sure. That was when he was in the hospital, though. Not the last week. Okay. So the chaplain came in and read Psalm 84, which is the psalm that we're going to be looking at tonight. And Angie says, before we get to church tonight, before the meeting that the ladies had, she says she wanted to stop at the house because there was a cross that I guess Valerie Wright wrote Psalm 84, a good portion of it, here on the cross. The portion says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere, O Lord Almighty. Blessed is the man who trusts in you." Beautiful and powerful psalm that is a bridge psalm to encourage those who are yearning for heaven, but also those who are about ready to enter that reward. And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight, the longing that we all should have as we look at Psalm 84 and see the yearning, the bridge that this psalm is for those of us who are here on this earth and have not yet crossed over, but the meaning is there for them as well. With God in his dwelling place, I just want to be where you are. The psalm is very short. We're only talking 12 verses here. The first two verses speak about the dwelling place of where God is. His presence is right there in his dwelling place. And it says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God." We understand this longing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 speaks of this longing, this yearning that we all ought to have. It says, "For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent," meaning our earthly bodies, "we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling." That ought to describe each and every one of us who has obeyed that gospel and is living faithfully and is longing here on earth for that moment when we can shed this mortal coil and take on that which God has prepared for us and has kept in heaven for us. And so we have a bridge song that I'd like to look at as well. "I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I just want to be where you are, in your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place where you are, because I just want to be with you. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table and surrounded by your glory. In your presence, that's where I always want to be. I just want to be with you." There's God in his dwelling place and us, his children, desiring, yearning to be with God and where he is, feasting at his table. And of course, that's a reference, as we can see, to Revelation chapter 19 and the wedding feast of the Lamb. But we can also understand it in the Lord's Supper as we are feasting at his table here on earth and waiting for that time when we can see him face to face. Verses 3 and 4, we see God speaking about him taking care of even the sparrow. Right now, we're having the rebuild of what's going on off of our back of our house. And there are a lot of sparrows and other birds that are just trying to make nests this time of year. Everything is open on our roof and everything, the rafters and everything else. And there's birds, all kind of birds. And I'm hanging up metal pans and things trying to scare them away. And the workers are taking down the wet metal pans or the wind's blowing them away. We just can't seem to do that. I see them as kind of useless birds in some ways because they're trying to mess up my dwelling place because they're trying to make a dwelling place of their own in my dwelling place, and I just don't want the mess. But God doesn't see them that way. God sees them as valuable. And he says here in Psalm 84, 3 and 4, "Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise, Selah." And so here also we see the first of three different beatitudes that are in this particular psalm. We're familiar with that term Beatitudes, and it usually refers to Matthew chapter 5, what we call the Sermon on the Mount, that section there, verses 3 through 12, where there are nine different Beatitudes that are mentioned there. And we have, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Here we have the first beatitude, which says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. That which we are longing for, our spirit yearns for, even faints, to want to be with God, to be where He is. And of course, in the New Testament, also within the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, it says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And then that section concludes in verse 33, 34. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Here's a way in which we can yearn to be in God's dwelling place with him as well, that we can seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, trusting that in God's eyes, even though he takes care of the sparrow's needs, that he will take care of our needs, because we are much more valuable in his sight than sparrows. We are made in his image. When my heart grows weary, sing to me of heaven. In verses 5 through 7, here's the second of the three Beatitudes that we can see in Psalm 84. It says, blessed are those whose strength is in you, and whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. Here are ones who not only long and yearn to be in God's dwelling place while they are on this side of heaven, but they spend that time trusting in him fully, recognizing that I'm weak, I am nothing, there's nothing good about me, but in God there is everything, and in him I can be strong. In him, I can find fulfillment for my life, that I can trust in God fully in all things, that my strength can be found in no one else but him. And isn't that what we're told in the New Testament? In that chapter of Ephesians 6 that speaks about the whole armor of God and all the different things that go along with it, it begins there in verse 10 by saying, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, not our own. It's for those who wait upon the Lord. Waiting is hard. Waiting is determining not to fight in this life by your own strength, by your own resources, but instead allowing yourself to submit to God, to allow yourself to trust in him, even though it makes no sense, and to love rather than push forward with whatever might you think that you might have. And in Isaiah chapter 40, written at the time of the northern captivity, the captivity of, Assyria coming in and sweeping away the northern kingdom, he writes, "Have you not known, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary." Keep in mind that phrase, it's going to come up. "His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And so the greatest of man's strength, when somebody is in their youth and at the prime of their life, when they think that they are invincible and they have all the strength they could ever need, even they will grow faint and be weary and shall fall exhausted. But we who are longing and yearning to be in God's dwelling place, we who trust in God for his strength, we will be renewed in our strength. We will find new strength to be able to mount up with wings like eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. That's the promise that God gives to us. And so here's the second of our bridge songs that we're talking about. Those that on this side of heaven can realize that there's an impact for those of us who are welcomed into heaven by the verses that are there. "Sing to me of heaven. Sing that song of peace. From the toils that bind me, it will bring release. Burdens will be lifted that are pressing so. Showers of great blessing over my heart will flow. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven, sweetest song of all. Sing to me of heaven as I walk alone, dreaming of the comrades that so long have gone. In a fairer region among the angel throng, they are happy as they sing that old sweet song. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven, sweetest song of all." And finally, the third verse, "Sing to me of heaven, tenderly and low, till the shadows o'er me rise and swiftly go, when my heart is weary, when the day is long. Sing to me of heaven, sing that old sweet song. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven, sweetest song of all." That's a bridge song, a song that speaks of those who are on this side of heaven, needing the encouragement of our brothers and sisters to be able to persevere, to trust in God, to find the strength that only He can give us in the midst of our weaknesses, so that we can long and yearn to be in the dwelling place with Christ one day. We need that encouragement. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 18, after that wonderful description of Jesus coming back and those in dead in Christ rising first up there, and then us joining Him who are left here on earth, up there to be with Him, that we will always be with the Lord. It says in verse 18, "Therefore encourage one another with these words." We are to encourage one another to help us to cross that bridge as we persevere. This side of heaven, we dream of how beautiful heaven must be. Verse 8 and 9 speaks about seeing God face to face and how it is that God looks upon the face of His anointed, us. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold our shield, O God, look on the face of your anointed. What child of God doesn't long for God to hear us here on earth, to know what is going on in our lives? We want to know that we are heard from God, that He will act on our behalf because He loves us very, very deeply. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12, and speaking about the perfection that will be there one day when we can see God face to face, crossing that bridge from this side of heaven to there, it says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly." That is how this existence is. But then, face to face. Verse 10 through 12 gets us to our title, "Then a Thousand Elsewhere." And here's where a lot of what was written on that cross that Valerie Wright wrote on for Angie after Joe had passed. And that cross was also at the memorial service for Joe 9 years ago. It says, "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere." We long to be with God. We long to be with His people. And on this side of heaven, this is the closest we can get to that, as we all come together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in You. And there's our third beatitude that's found within Psalm 84. Blessed is the one who trusts in You. Here we're talking about the wondrous grace that God bestows out to the children that He loves. He is our sun. He is our shield. He bestows favor and honor. He doesn't withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly, and we need the grace of God here in this life. In the New Testament, we can see the book of Ephesians chapter 1 speaking about this grace. It says, "He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ." And so this side of heaven, a song speaks of our longing to be able to cross the bridge and see face to face, to see the glorious riches of our salvation that He has kept in heaven for us, our inheritance that He has there waiting for us. How beautiful heaven must be. We sing the song of encouragement to one another, that we might not give up, but instead persevere in our longing and yearning to be with God one day. We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word He has given, how beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. in heaven, no drooping, nor pining, no wishing for elsewhere to be. God's light is forever there shining. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be, sweet home of the happy and free, fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Pure waters of life there are flowing, and all who will drink may be free. Rare jewels of splendor are glowing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be, sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven for the weary, of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. And so our challenge, we do have a loving Father who helps us on this side of heaven. He has given to us a church, the body of His Son, made up of members of that body who are our brothers and sisters, who are also longing for the same thing, yearning as we all do for that day when we can see the glory face to face. All the troubles of this world will be set aside, and we will be there with Him in eternity for heaven. But for now, we are on this side of the bridge. For now, we have this longing that He has instilled within each and every one of us to once again be with Him in His dwelling place forever. And we long and yearn for that day when we can be there. If you have that longing within you and you have never obeyed the gospel, this would be an opportunity to do so, to have that promise of eternal life given to you, that inheritance set aside for you in eternity that God will keep for you, that one day when you cross that bridge and come to Him, you'll be welcomed with open arms. If you have already made that decision but not been living faithfully to it, there may be an opportunity here too for you to come forward as we stand and sing a song of invitation.